Blog Talk Radio.
We're on the air now, a half hour late. I don't like being late for sound check. And most definitely this time around, I was late for sound check. Well, I've always said there'd be no excuse for that, but tonight there was one, and I could think of one. I'll tell you about that later. But tonight, I was also, I think I might have said in another show that I'd done on Blog Talk Radio about a balloon flight, that I'd like to send a weather balloon up into the upper atmosphere in a foam box with a battery pack and camera, along with an attachment of a thermometer that would measure Fahrenheit, Celsius, centigrade temps. Quite interesting. Well, I got half the things I need. I just need to work on getting the rest. I'll keep you abreast of all that and all new projects that I will be working on here on American Psychosis Radio. Now, before I get on with the main topic matter of the show tonight, which will be about my psychiatric records from the beginning of the 90s, or, well, mid-beginning of the 90s, I should say, I was going through this lady's apartment today that had passed away, and I found a lot of books on psychology and a lot of books on sociology. I only grabbed a handful of what I thought was interesting, or rather what looked interesting to me, of course, and I stumbled upon this book written by William L. Nicholas. He is an editor of other people's writings called Psychology of Learning and Readings. And in this book, and I believe it came from a student at Harvard University, I'm not really sure about it, but let me read this small letter to, well, I don't even know whose it is, but I'm going to read it and see what you think of it. Dated September 28, 1990. The book, Psychology of Learning, Readings with William F. Nicholas, editor, Nelson Hall, Chicago, is a rather interesting phenomenon. It has a great deal of description of experiments, mostly with animals, which make up a technical language, and a small smattering of information which might be useful to the human when of learning. I can't read some of these cursive words, but I'll try my best. What they call learning is mostly trained response in both animal and human subjects. Such arranged structure, both recorded responses, have little or no relation to ordinary or common living, and they are very expensive. If the goal plus psychology is the animal behavior observed, there's little to no need of the terms of psychologists in the human learning system. For myself, I will return to William Jane's useful book in psychology in the Harvard classes and share its knowledge with where it's needed for understandable, at least most related to human experience and daily, more or less normal living questions. And I bet a lot of listeners that would hear this on archive or on live would probably say, shut up, we don't understand what you're saying. So, you know what? Very interesting, but I can't make anything of it, so here it is. Sound better to you? Let's get on with tonight's show. Tonight's show is going to be rather about me again, and I'm trying to gear my shows from talking about me, because I suffer from schizophrenia, to talking more about treatment thereof and my experiences to help others who might be experiencing the same issues. So if I choose to share my psychology or psychiatric records with you, at least some of them, we're going to go over a handful of them, not all of them, because there are so many. I bet you'd find some of them quite interesting. The first page is when this is the very first psychiatrist I've ever saw, and I'll call him Dr. L, okay? Just Dr. L, okay? The very first date I visited him was on April 6, 1993. Well, Meyer could say 93, 2003, 13. That's 22 years ago since that first visit that I've ever had with a psychiatrist. Now, I reckon to say that some of these reports are mumble-jumbled or mixed up, rather, and probably not going to go through a chronological flow all too well with it. But I'll read to you. Now, let me see my activity flow chart here. And my activity flow chart shows a visit on 10/1/97. Let's see. 10/1/97. That's about, halfway down the list. I have an anger problem. I will be the first and my foremost to admit that. But it says, I came willingly to the interview alone, and we met with one another for 30 minutes. I said that I'm on disability at the present time, and I was holding some grudges against my previous employers, and seems to be dwelling on these angry feelings. He continues to have problems handling his anger at times, and it really gets out of control. I still believe that the Luvox at the time was helpful, which was a medicine. I claim that I have good days and I have bad days, but mostly bad days because I still remember how my old employer treated me and fired me, and that I could not put this issue behind me. The doctor is discussing with me in the session different ideas of how to handle my temper, and a homework assignment was given. However, I did not make a full commitment about whether I want to work out on my anger problems or not. He rather told me to think about it. So the objective of this matter was when I was seen, I appeared alert and cooperative. Most of the time I was striving and upset about things that have happened to me in the past and was agreeable to take the medications. Conversations were easy to follow, and those perceptual disorders were there, but I didn't make any threats against harming anyone. However, at the present time, I'm unable to get rid of my anger towards my previous employer. Now, this was on 10/1/97. Let's go back a few dates. 16/96 pattern on my flow chart. That's a little bit earlier than the report I just left. It came willingly to this interview alone, and later on my mom joined in. We met for a total of 50 minutes on this session. I was hospitalized to a mental health unit from 12/27/95 to 1/4/96. Now, this was a long time. I was on homebound at school for this. I do remember it. But this And you probably heard me and even remember me saying in the past that this doctor could not come with a straight-up diagnosis for anything. And I think the reason why is so I could keep coming back and he could keep milking my dad's insurance company. I was discharged from that hospital stay on Luvox at 50 milligrams at bedtime and risperidone at 2 milligrams at bedtime. I was doing relatively well. I'd been looking for a job at that time, and I kept in contract that I'd made in the mental unit with my parents. It was all about my parents. It wasn't anything about me or what I wanted because it didn't matter. My mother, in this session, indicated that I was being done very well. I was looking for a job and made many applications, and that she's pleased with the way that it was going. I still have problems dealing with my dad. I didn't get along well together with my dad back then, and my new goal was to improve my relationship with my dad. Also, I was going to try to see how I could repay my bills. I was going to try to contact the store in Chicago where I'd left the computer to see if I might get some credit for it. Also, he might write to a friend, me, in North Carolina to see if he shipped his TV when I left the Navy. Appears like he didn't. In fact, I know he did. But I just couldn't come to the terms of explaining that one to my mom. This one is on the flow chart. Let's pick out another one. We got 18 minutes left in the show. Okay, this is 4-6. This is the beginning. This is the beginning session that I saw. And we're going to look something up online here in a second that caught my line. I'm going to circle it so I know to look it up online and just see what it's like now as it, compared to the way it was back then with what I'm about to say. But this time, I'm 40 now, but this was back when I was 17 years old as a white male who was discharged from the mental health unit on 4/2/93 with the final diagnosis of schizophreniform disorder with good prognostic features and also secondary diagnosis with schizoid personality features. And I was discharged from that hospital stay on Trilofan 2 milligrams twice a day. So that's 4 milligrams total of Trilofan. Let me explain what Trilofan is. It's a psychotropic drug that is supposedly hard to find. So let me read to you what this whole initial me seeing this guy started with. When I was seen, I appeared alert, cooperative. I said that I'm not hearing any more voices or having any visual hallucinations that I was once having, and no, I wasn't on anything. I claim that it's got... Oh, wait a minute. Shaky. That, you know, bouncing my leg, moving those tonic-clonic reactions to psychotropic medicine. I eat well. The reports are that I'm having some trouble going to sleep, and that's really the same way it stayed now. I still have trouble sleeping. I still have about 6 to 7 days of the Trilofan tablets left in my prescription bottle. And even the doctor writes down here on the report, Trilofan is difficult to find. So we're going to go to the computer and we're going to look up Trilofan. As soon as I get Google here to pop up here, I'm going to figure out how to spell this drug. Okay, let's see what we got. So, in results for Trilofan, propentazine, medical facts from drugs.com, and we'll go down to WebMD. I trust them very much, so I've been using them, and I'm starting to get emails from them. Hallelujah, I might learn something about my own health. So let's go to WebMD.com, drugs/2/drugs, Trilofan oral details. What conditions does Trilofan treat? Okay, hang on a minute. There's a lot of popping up on my computer here. schizophrenia, nausea, and vomiting. Trilofan treats those three things. Schizophrenia. Now, see, this is what I don't understand. He has me on all these different psychiatric drugs, but he never came except the closeness to schizoid personality features and schizophrenia form disorder with good prognostic features. Could come up with that. Why didn't he just come up with schizophrenia? I think it would have been a lot better off. But my mom thought it was, and so did the doctor, thought it was a thing called Jory's attitude. You not. Now, common drugs that we're going to go to, I'm sorry for the long delays here. I may get off this other window that I got open because my studio is wide open. And we're going to bring up this here and just kind of talk very lightly after the silent break. Here on American Psychosis Radio with host Jory Rowe. How he felt at all. But the subjective is this, April 20th, 1993, subjective. On this day, I met with Jory and his mother, and we went the whole hour in the session. I indicated that he has not had any more hallucinations since I left the unit and that I have been doing well. He indicated that he has a B. I indicated that I had a B in history, and is having some reports pending in English. My mother indicated that I is still somewhat uncoordinated, having trouble running and catching a ball. Big deal. I'm not going to college, so I don't need to run, and I don't need to catch a ball. But my mom somehow had this big dream that I was going to be a college boy. Grasped the reality of understanding that it wasn't going to happen. I was seen by another doctor a neurologist at that to get further testing done as to why I had problems with catching a ball, lifting, and having no strength in my arms. My mom would like to see me be more involved in school activities such as clubs. I'm interested. They didn't have anything that I was interested in. And now become more organized. Why? For her or for me? Well, for her, it was for me so I wouldn't get in trouble. Then I'll stop hearing voices or get rid of voices or hallucination. And then I'll be getting evaluated for my coordination problems. And then I will get better grades. Nothing that I did never seemed good enough for my mom. So I fell short of doing the best on purpose. And then I'll make at least one more new friend. That was the whole requirement back then. You guys don't have friends. You guys don't have friends. That's abnormal. Okay, well, every friend I brought home, my mom couldn't stand them, and we weren't allowed to hang with them. Furthermore, we weren't allowed to have them over at the house anymore. And it didn't take my mom much to say, I don't like that friend you're hanging with. And number seven, that I'll be having more participation in age-appropriate activities during the weekends. I don't even know where that came from. And that I was to improve my communication and relationship with my dad. For example, my dad would become less critical of me, and I will talk to my dad directly without my mom going in between, or that I will accept more criticism without being annoyed or angry. Not for me. I don't accept criticism, especially when I know I'm in the right. I'm not going to take criticism when I know I'm in the right. And 95% of the time with conflict with my dad, I've been right. I don't go for that. Well, I'm a grown-up, so I'm automatically right. Kind of crap my mom and dad did. Well, or we own the house that you're living in, so you have to conform. I didn't have a problem with that because, but it always bothered me. I said, okay, then I'll move out. Then they say, well, where are you going to go? Okay, none of your business. If I'm moving out, why are you concerned? Is it that you want to control me still because that's what you have a hard-on for? Or are you going to let me go out into the real world and experience a lot of different things and become successful? I think they had the problem, the biggest problem with letting their first two kids out of the nest, which could be very much a difficult, very difficult, rather, thing for any parent to do with their firstborn kids, especially if they think their kids are not making the right decisions. Granted, I didn't make the right decisions most of the time, but I had to learn that way. He had me reading a book during the whole time I was singing called Seeds of Greatness by Dennis Waitley. I really didn't read the book. I pretended to have read the book and slopped together through it because, number one, I didn't feel the need to have to read that stupid book. But everybody said it was such a good book that I didn't need to read it. So, no, need to read that. People learn how to understand me more and where I come from. It's just like I had a boss say this to me. How come you don't get along with your mom and dad, Jordan? Listen, I'm just tired of the crap. I got tired of them thinking that I owed them things when I come home out of the military when I, in fact, felt I didn't owe anything to them. And my mom being PO'd at me when I didn't have money to hand over? Excuse me. At that time, this is how I thought. I don't owe you no money. And I'm not going to put my life on hold just because your life got stuck on hold. Well, anyway, my boss said to me, well, maybe they see things you don't see. And I said, well, maybe it could be the other way around. Maybe I see things they don't see. And then when he says, yeah, but when they're making your mortgage payment, I said, oh, don't give me that mortgage payment crap again. They're not making my mortgage payment. They're making theirs. I may have been living with them. But I could always move out. That's what I did. And they couldn't stand it because I made the decision to move out. Now, still, I have problems with my past. We did a show on the past couple of weeks ago. I might have to do that show all over again if I still have problems underachieving and letting go of the past. Now, I read through quite a few of these. But we're going to move it on up while we've got 3 minutes left in the show. And this was in 1998. Well, let me shift forward here. Okay, let's go to December 9th, 1997. And this was a good visit. I remember this visit, the doctor. Jory came willingly to the interview alone. We met for 30 minutes. He was upset that he said that a friend of his stole rent money from him. And he had a talk with this pastor that apparently helped him out with his landlord. He said that he had some conflict with this friend because this friend apparently is shoplifting and stealing things from other people. He doesn't want to be an accomplice. He said that he cannot prove that his friend stole my rent money. I know he did. To this day, I know he did. But he's certain 98%. I asked him, the doctor said, what kind of friend is that who is stealing your money? And I said that I had that he had a good point. That he had a good point there. I still continued to be having problems at this time controlling my temper. Usually I fly off the handle very easily. He said that he has been undergoing a lot of stress lately. I said that I've had financial difficulties and doesn't have his medical card anymore. He also said that he is smoking and wants to quit smoking and wanted to start on medications called Zyban, which is Wellbutrin. It shows the assessment was my mood was up and my mood was down. Explosive temper. And we're down low on time, people. We'll catch you next week here on American Psychosis Radio when we talk about projects that help us stay motivated with a half-an-hour show next week on American Psychosis Radio with host Jory Rowe. Glad you tuned in to listen to me and you left everyone else alone. See you next time.